For instance, stop right here, just talk with you just a minute to explain what I'm trying to say. It's like Paul the Apostle. They said, Paul, you've lost your mind. You've gone crazy. You're eccentric, Paul. No, he said, I'm not like that at all. He said, if I'm beside myself, which he acknowledged that he was as to the natural man, that he was, as the psychological approach today would say, unbalanced psychiatrist, you know. They'd say he wasn't well balanced. He'd kind of gotten off into the deep on the spiritual side of things. He said, if I'm beside myself, it's for Christ. It's for Christ. But he spoke of a revelation. And he spoke of a man's wife. A man's wife by the name of Sarah. Or the man Abraham. The wife Sarah. He spoke of her. And he said, this woman. He said, this woman said, now there is New Jerusalem. Well, somebody said, now you couldn't do that, Brother Pike. Well, we've got Mrs. Paradise here this morning. New Jerusalem. Said, that's the mother of us all. And he said, Hagar, that's old Jerusalem right there. Said, which now is and in bondage with her children. Or that it answers to Arabia, Mount Sinai. Going back to Jerusalem, now is and is in bondage with the children. That is comparing a natural Jew to a spiritual Jew. That's getting into another dimension. It would take a long time just to explain just a tiny bit of this. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven. I'll make comparison from natural to spiritual. If I was making, as to the first dimension, a comparison as to natural, I would have to take as to the Egyptian way of life and go back to Hagar and Ishmael as to the bond's child and Isaac as the free. But if I move over to Paul, then I'm on this other side of Calvary, as we say, and I'm getting into a spiritual dimension, so I hear a rent veil or a separation, and I look at heavenly things and earthly things, so I make a comparison as to heavenly thing and earthly things. But like in school, before I get to the crossing, I come to the board as a tutor. I write down the formula as to Ishmael and Isaac. Here is your bond and here is your free. Here is old Jerusalem and here is new Jerusalem. Well, I could go into that for hours, but I just said that to catch your thought, to let you know that I'm not speaking as one that beateth the air, that there's something back there. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Paul spoke of being caught up into the third heaven. All right, so then we see that there are spiritual, invisible forces and powers. We have a type of that in that scientists has to magnify into existence germs, enzymes, or certain things as to elements and as to atomic particles, as to those things that they define scientifically. Science, the word science means knowledge, as to their way of knowledge. By their knowledge, their research, they define the atoms. And they break it down to the electrons. And we preached here one day, if you remember. And we went into it as to the theory. Because that's all they got is a theory. They don't see nothing. It's like wavelengths. You read it in your school book. And they show you how it goes and what it does and whatever. They ain't seen nothing. Ain't nothing there for them to see. It's their theory. And they have to theorize it and bring it out into the natural. And write down something so your intellectual mind will be able to grasp it. Same way with the things of God. All that's types. See, in the spiritual world, it's the same identical way. We brought out in the atomic powers of how to split. We brought out how that they split an atom. And we brought it out and showed how that they do this. Terms of fission, fusion, these kind of things, and how that they split it. And we brought it down to the very minute, going beyond the electrical spark, as to the innermost detail of it. And then when we brought it down, we did not stop there. We went into the spiritual application as to the spiritual revelation. Because when scientists get that far, they can't go any farther. They've run out of things. Their microscopic view or telescopic view just won't get it. like at Mountain View, California, the man Ames there, they keep observing Pioneer 10. Like a vision we had one time, and I saw the heavens and it was all clouded up, and all of a sudden I saw a great telescope come down out of heaven. It pushed through the clouds and it came down under the heavy layer of clouds and came to where I was. And when it came to where I was, the Lord directed my heart, come and look. And I looked, and when I looked, I saw through this telescopic thing beyond the clouds. See, that's where the problem is. You can't get beyond the clouds. Clouds, there's a dual meaning of the clouds as to the white, light, fluffy clouds that brings the refreshing of the rain, and the dark clouds that spell trouble. See, there's a difference, and these clouds make war with each other. And they come into a state of hot and cold, and you can't mix hot and cold without getting an explosion. God said, I would that you were cold or hot. If you're cold and don't know nothing about religion, then he'll give you grace as he has done with the blood on the seat of atonement. And if you do know, then you have to be hot. You have to serve God, because to know and not to do is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So there's no in between. You can't come to the knowledge of a thing and then not go on with it and say, well, I'm just cold, because you're lukewarm. Anytime you know and don't do, you can never again be cold. Cold means you've never known, you never come in contact with. This religious world can never be cold. Never. They are lukewarm because they're not hot and fervent in the spirit. Well, anyway, these clouds have a dual meaning, and you can't get beyond those thoughts. As to a physical dimension, they present themselves in the form of thoughts. That's because you intellectually conceive as to a brain operation. Your thoughts, lean not to thine own thoughts, thine own understanding. Cast down imagination, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that there be no wavering in the heart, for to believe is to believe without wavering. Ask in your heart, don't doubt, and whatever you say, it'll come to pass. That's the secret of being a master in Christ and controlling all things, like Joshua, controlling the moon, controlling the sun, they controlled the waters, they opened up the Red Sea, do whatever they wanted to. Said, contend for this faith that was once delivered to those saints. Raise the dead, outrun the chariots of Ahab on foot, floated through the air as Ezekiel over into the valley of dry bones, just ride through the air. Well, anyway, this is what I'm saying to you. We're coming to that place of the translation and rapture like Ezekiel was. This is what I'm saying, is that there is a conflict as to the physical dimension you look at it, as to the natural dimension you look at it, as to the spiritual dimension you look at it. And I have to take the natural dimension as to the, we call it in school, we study geography, the geographic view, as to the geologists and whatever. We have to go down to what is the Jewish side of it, as to a natural inheritance, because their inheritance was from God, as land, as an inheritance to get into Canaan, where the fruits were so enormous in size. We have to take that, and then we have to go to another dimension, which is the physical dimension, as to the body, or that is to the world of chemistry. If you've ever studied chemistry, I never did, but I know about it. I know all about it, to Christ. But as to the world of chemistry, we come to the chemistry, and as to the chemical composure of your body, as to the elements that's brought from the earth and brought from the surrounding, as to the atmospheric pressures. And Satan is the power, the prince, the ruler, the power, the controller, the god of this world, and he is the prince of the powers of the air. And the powers of the air, these are what Peter spoke of, where he spoke about the elements being on fire and the heavens melting with heat and the earth and all therein utterly being burned up while the heavens are dissolved. But we look for new heavens, he said. Scientists, they are like little tiny babies, like Einstein. Einstein, in the presence of God, would be a little tiny baby that had not quite gotten his eyes open. He has run through the spheres of this world, come down to the defining as to the entrance, as to the doorway into infinity. And he couldn't go any further. He was cut off. He thought he could go further. As a matter of fact, when he died, I understand he told him, you know, just to hold on. He was going to work the thing out at the crossing. But he fell into the pit. He didn't make it. All right. There's a great pit between paradise and that lake of fire. It's called the bottomless pit. All right, looking at these things, then we see that there is a physical dimension, a chemical world, a world of chemistry, or what the world refers to as human anatomy, this body, bones and flesh. It's born to the first man Adam. It was made of the dust, and so it is today. It hasn't changed. It's the same. And the only thing that's keeping God from utterly consuming it with the brightness of his coming is the blood on the seat of atonement. As to a human form that was made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, at least to the time of the Reformation, or on through eternity if you receive the benefits of eternal security. So that's the condition the world is in. They can't get out of it. For the Bible said the knowledge of God, the revelation of God, as compared to scientists and their brilliance and their little old probing around the stars, and Einstein, that this knowledge is higher above man's knowledge and their theory than the heavens is the earth. And the heavens are so high that they've never found the boundaries. They can't even find the spheres as to the solar cutoff. They've not even been able to determine the boundaries of the solar yet. Speculation and theory, and they've still not come to it. With all of the children that's got out of school, they educated them. They gave them their college. And they told them all of these things. And then they're out of school. And the next generation comes along and they say, we apologize. We was wrong. We'll take the next batch and see if we can do better. And so they run the next batch through. And now here today, they're apologizing. And they're saying that they are convinced now there's not a modern waterworks on the moon. And no living creatures on the moon, and now their theory concerning the solar boundaries beyond Pluto, they apologize. They'll have to try another batch. But anyway, this is the way it is. Paul said, if you want to sum the whole thing up, when you look at it in the revelation as coming into the mind of God, he said, if you want to look at it, he said, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And he said they have scientists, knowledge. He says it's falsely so-called. So the real science or knowledge is in God. It is the mind of Christ. The Bible said these people that are defining are ever learning. They've got all kind of colleges and schools. You never get through studying their books. They're ever learning. And the Bible said they never at any time know the truth. They never come to this great mind of God, which is called the knowledge of truth. But it said if you'll follow God and walk with God, you'll come into the God knowledge as to the knowledge of truth. Well, let's go back to our thought here just to kind of talk a minute or two to get a few things together. To program something or to frame something in your mind. So then we have a second dimension. It's not from a geological survey, or that is a geographic, I would say. It's not as to geologists. It's not that. But we've come to another realm. And now we're dealing with psychiatrists, a psychological approach. You know, we're getting into the realm of psychology. And we are looking at a thing altogether different as to the definition. And when we do, it would take days and days and days for tutoring just to go into that particular field to where it could be explained. As to the error, the Bible said God has not given unto us the spirit of error. As to the error or the spirit of error that the children of this world have. And the spirit of Christ, which is not error. Now I say this to you again, I've said it to you a number of times. And as I say so often, I hope you don't mind me talking to you like this, because that's the way Jesus did to his disciples. We speak of matter. We speak of matter as to a form of matter. Whereas I could say these mics are a form of matter, your body's a form of matter, the flow of the walls, Even the moon, in that it's made out of rock and nickel, the stars, the wandering stars, all these kind of things. Whatever it might be, it could be a form of matter. And then I would look at it and I'd say, there is such a thing that's called energy. Energy? You know, when you're lacking in energy, you can't do what Brother Thomas has done. So God somewhere supplying his energy. And not only is he supplying the energy, I could look at Brother Thomas and he would be what I would call potential energy. Just boxed up, and there he is, a framework, and he's an image. But he's just sitting there, you know, doing nothing. But it's not potential energy. He's turned it into kinetic energy, like water into steam, and he's spinning the wheels, as we say. That is called power. With God, that's power. So then, the same as in the natural, in the spiritual, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which he hath created, or those things which do appear. There is an invisible thing to relate to a visible tree. There is an invisible being, Paul called the inner man, that relates to the visible being. And one inhabits this world as a visible being as to the world of chemistry. The other as the world of spirit inhabits the other world. So then there is a third world. We speak of a third heaven. We speak of a third world. The Bible speaks of heaven and earth passing away. And we have to differentiate, because it's for sure the third heaven will never pass away. So we have to find out what heaven he's talking about that's going to pass away. But anyway, we come to another dimension. And this dimension, like in school, they say run it to the first power, then to the second power, and then to the third power. So we say first dimension, second dimension, third dimension. So a formula takes us then to the third dimension. When we get to the third dimension, all that we have, beloved friend, is theory. Theory. That's why they want you to go to college to learn to preach. And they teach you theology. And all they can do is theorize and theorize and theorize, as scientists, falsely so-called. They don't know nothing about nothing. And they've set up their ritualistics, like drawing their little lines as to the natural expressions of wavelengths and whatever. And they've got their theories, and they form their colleges, and they form their schools. They form their schools to process their ministers, and they are hatching out by the million bastard children or devil images by the millions. Proselyte. Twofold more the child of hell than there was to start with, because they were ignorant to start with and God could have mercy on them. But then coming to a religious stride of life, they really get into trouble. So they theorize, and they've got their books and they've got their professors. And of course, Brother Taylor, he had gotten into that. He'd gotten into that. You know, sometimes a lamb can get in a pig pen. Let's give the Lord a hand. It don't change the fact that he's a lamb with a lamb nature, and you have to reach in there and get him out and wash him off. But they do get in there. But Brother Taylor had studied, took about 4 years of business college and a couple of years in seminary, was it? 3 years of business college, 3.5. Oh, 3.5 seminary and a couple of years business. Well, anyway, after 3.5 years, he theorized and theorized till he plumb theorized out. And I found him sitting on my doorsteps one early morning, not going to college. And I imagine Sister Linda about then about exploded. Because Sister Linda was a valedictorian in her class in surgery. She was a nurse, and in such of with such a talent and ability that I understand that when she was there, sometimes even serious cases, that they called the doctor. And when it was said that Miss Taylor was there, the doctor said, "Don't worry about it. I don't have to come if she's there." So you're fortunate to have somebody like that in your, you know, here. Brother Taylor was a very businessman. He was working for the government. He was going on with his work and whatever. And like I say, I just said that as a passing statement, that Sister Linda probably just about exploded. As a matter of fact, I know a little more about it. I was out of her house when she did explode, and Sister Betty and I left. So I thought it'd make it easy on Sister Linda, but she's a changed lady now, so not that Sister Linda anymore. Anyway, I said that to say this. Theory, that's all they have in their intellectual way of college. That's all they have. And these men come out and they take churches, and with their religious philosophy, they create religious formalities. And they take a person's natural mind, and this natural mind will reflect like what the Bible calls wandering stars. There are things that are made out of nickel and rock, very shiny. They float around out in the elements out there. You know, you get beyond a certain place and you can just float around like one of our astronauts did when he just floated out of the ship, holding on to a rope to get back. See, those things float around, and the power, they may not tell you this, but the way the thing works, the way God shows it, is that the power that is, as the Lord revealed, in the heart of the earth, as you know, there is a ball of fire. This ball of fire, the Bible refers to the thing as hail from beneath that is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Scientists have found out that it's dissolving the mantle of the earth. Out of this ball of fire, there comes heat. It comes up. We say heat from the sun because you go into a cave, it's cold. But from the heart of this earth, there's that heat. This is what makes the ocean to boil like a pot, according to what God has shown. Boil like a pot. The Bible speaks of Leviathan, the piercing serpent, that makes the deep to boil like a pot. One of the things is bursting bums in it and whatever. And Satan being the prince of the air and the turbulence of the wind and these things that start in the hot areas and move cyclones in and cause the waters to roll along with this thing that's at the bottom. Well, anyway, that creates a gravitational power. With that, heat has a tendency to draw. And it draws. It creates a gravitational power that there is as to so high, this as a perimeter and breaking down into atmosphere, hemisphere, stratosphere, into these kind of things and reaching up. And within that, all these certain spheres, you can breathe all right. Beyond that, as you get up, you have to have something like oxygen, the higher that you go, and like the planes being pressurized. Some planes can't go that high. Birds are like that. Certain birds can't go very high because they're not pressurized. It would burst their lungs. Certain little fish in the ocean, they cannot go as to the depths of others because it bursts their lungs. But certain creatures are made for deeper depths. Certain creatures are made for higher height. In this world, that's the way it is. You might fathom something and you might be able to cope with it and handle it. See, somebody else would say, I can't, it blows my mind. It blows my mind. You understand what I'm saying? So then we that are spiritual, the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. We might not go on to all things. You know, we go on as to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, a child, as to a childish way of life, as to a woman, a feminist way of life, as to masculine, as to what is referred to as 100-fold, since he's the stronger of the species. And the Lord makes it that way, as I say so often, that the woman might give in to the man, or couldn't be one as to representing the church, in that the church has to give in to Christ, as to the mind of Christ. The woman is the body, and the man is the head, the great mystery that Christ spoke of concerning the church. Well, anyway, we're going on. We say heights, the Bible said, go on to a full reward. Let us go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. For we are ordained to the full measure of the full stature. So, I said that to say this, that some can go on and on and on. For there are millionaires, there are billionaires. And on as to their level of life, as to the type in the upper echelon. Now, so going into these places, we develop new appetites. A little boy across the track, he's never tasted steak, or when I was a boy, I hardly ever got anything like steak. So I didn't have too much appetite for it. Even today, Betty can tell you, I don't care that much for it. I'd rather have a piece of fried meat, because that's what we had, fried meat, and I developed an appetite for it. So see, I don't feel robbed. If you don't give me steak, it don't bother me at all. Well, if you've never tasted the greater things of God, if you've never went in and opened your appetite to these great wonders of God, these magnificent things, if you've never done that, it won't bother you. You can go on in your level of life as to your natural episode of life, and it won't bother you a bit. But see, when I looked through that telescope, I saw a heavenly body. I saw heavenly things. And on one occasion, I was caught up into that thing. And my wife, I called for Betty. I said, "Hurry, Betty, hurry." And Betty ran, but she couldn't make it. Just as quick as the voice that it spoke to me, or that superpower that it spoke to me, saw that Betty was coming through the telescope, it was just as quick as that. It just went back. That telescope went back in. It had come out. It went back in and back beyond the clouds and was gone. Whereas the Lord let me know that He intended for Betty to receive this through me. I'm her head. If you would learn anything, ask your husband at home, the Bible says. And of course, Betty has went into the great, wonderful things of God, into the heavenlies. That way, it keeps us one. If He gives all this to her, and then to me, I got it, six of one, half a dozen another. You go your way, I go my way. That's what happens when people work on a job. The wife, she gets a job, the husband gets a job, and the husband says, "I'm hungry, I'm tired." The wife said, "So what? So am I." I said, "Well, I'd like for you to show me just a little bit of kindness and love and consideration. Why don't you do me that way?" Say, "But I'm trying to make you a living." "Yeah, I pay the bills." You know, and on you go. Say, "Well, I don't think you ought to buy that. I don't think that dress is just right. I don't think that's becoming." "Well, what's it to you? I got my own money." See, that's the way God is with the church. He has a pastor. He has a leader. Christ is our head. Isn't that right? Let's give Him a hand. All right. So we see the wonderful works of God. And this makes us to know that we're moving from dimension to dimension. We're moving from one place to another. As I heard of a man, I told the little story to you, won't go through it. He bursted his lungs diving for pearls. He went too deep. But he got a great pearl that was to his father of great price. He would never separate from it. So sometimes you dive deep. I've been down in some deep places. And I have to admit that spiritually speaking, it would have blown my mind. My lungs would have bursted if it had not been for God. But I said, "No, I believe, I believe, I believe." But Satan was powerful. The powerful Bible speaks of some never having known the depths of Satan. You might have messed around with him a little bit. But if you ever get into the depths and you know him and his cruelty and whatever, as something else. But anyway, doing this, I remember the vision that God gave me, that where I was brought into this cave and all of these hooded figures was there. And Lucifer was up here. There was also a hooded figure back up here. And when I came in, I shook and I trembled. It literally like to scared me to death. It got control of me. And I heard a voice say to me, said, "Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be afraid." And man, I took courage when the Spirit of God came on me. I was like David. It said he could run through a troop and leap over a wall. God comes upon me, Brother Thomas, Brother Taylor, these men that experience this. It doesn't matter if it's the police. It don't matter what it is. There's something about that you lose all sense of your human reason. You could care less what happened. And that's how Moses done without the way he did on the mountain. He didn't have no desire to eat. Elijah the same way. Journeyed 40 days without food. Well, anyway, I've been into some deep dips. I went into this vision, into this cave. And as I stood there, the voice speaking to me, I looked back at the hooded figure that was the head of this tribe. And I looked back at him with a sternness, and I got a hold to my heart, and I got myself stern to where I didn't even flinch. Like a man, when he gets on dope, he gets stoned. I've never taken dope, but that's the way they get. They say stoned, and I can tell from the understanding of God that what it does, it affects their nerve systems, and their nerves get so strong. Nerves is like elastic. They're made to give to as to certain places, they give a little bit as to the pressure. So as to whatever is needed as to your feeling to record life whether partial or in fullness, as nerves to the ears, or as we say, the 22 conductive nerves that go from the eye to the brain up here. Well, anyway, this nerve, I got a hold of myself. And I was standing there like one stone so far as flinching or fear. And I noticed that as I did this, you know, the Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I drawed nigh to God. I got filled with the Spirit of God, and I began to resist. And I noticed that that hooded figure that was, he was like something that there was no way to move, to make flinch. I mean, he was like he was a piece of iron. But when I did that, something happened to him, and he broke. And I started moving toward him a little at a time, a little at a time. And he started, first he didn't back up, but when he saw that I was steadily aggressive and coming, he started backing up and backing up and backing up. And he got more weak and got more afraid and more afraid until he just blowed up like a balloon. So I mastered the devil in it. This is what I'm talking about the deep depths and the high heights. You keep on, scientists keep on probing and probing and probing. They keep on trying to fathom the heights. And I believe, going a long way around to try to say this, knowing that if I'd have said it the other way, you couldn't have understood it. But I believe that the end of the world is here. I can prove it. And the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the days of the Gentiles are over. Even the trip that we're taking, even the draft, though we've gotten a little rain lately, even this has to do with the cutting off of the waters of heaven from them that are in the earth. And the little rain that we expected to come, it did come. It's to let you know that God does have a few people in the earth, few there be that find it, the little flock that he's going to water regardless. So then in this, when we consider this and look at these kind of things, we see that they are concerned about the hemisphere. They are concerned about it. Which I say again, remember, there is an envelopment of the sun as to a magnetic field and gases of powerful explosions that they say scientifically reaches out for millions of miles. This power is the power of the sun, a boiling fire. It's just a boiling fire. If you've never seen a close-up of it, they've taken pictures. I've seen them. It literally is a fire. Like an inferno, it's a fire. It's burning. It's all. It looks nice and round because of the spheres that form around it in the distance. But it isn't at all. It's just blazing everywhere. Just burning. See, God, the great light. All of the world, science say, is dependent upon the great light. That if it withdrew, if it went into a nova, the whole earth would just freeze over as a ball of ice. And it is a true fact that according to the Bible, just talking to you, according to the Bible, down through the church ages, we've got a 1, 2, 3, until we reach a 7-fold compounding of the light of this great wonderfulness that God released at Pentecost through the rent veil. Whereas we're coming into that time right now, and the Bible said, and it shall be 7-fold. And the light is going to come out like this. It'll do it with the sun. Someday, it'll do it with the sun. Jesus tarries. It's going to come out like this. The light of the sun is going to heat up. And it's going to come out like 7-fold. Now you say, oh, it won't do it. It will do it. You watch and see. Read the book of Revelation and get into Revelation to understand. Like the writer said, understandest thou what thou readest? It speaks of the sun where it is going to be so hot that people will blaspheme God, and it'll be so hot they'll literally be scorched by it. So it's going to compound. Why? Because every natural thing in heaven, it has to have an antitype, or it has to have something that is running adjacent as to a parallel with it in the earth. As in heaven, so in the earth. And in that, that is going to happen in the spirit. It's going to compound as to what the first church age messenger brought to the second church age messenger and the third down to the seventh as scientists as the knowledge compounds from one physician, or as an Einstein that has given his life of study to another young fellow that's picked it up and compounded with his plus. And it brings the modernism of life as to the conveniences of life because of this intellectual stride from the tree of knowledge. So is the tree of life. Not as knowledge that puffeth up, but charity that edifieth. Faith working by charity. So then we see this thing happening, and then at the end of the age, when it is compound itself as to a sevenfold, it will mean that the mysteries of God are finished. For the Bible says in the angel of Revelation 10, set one foot on the land and one on the sea, lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And we brought it out on tape here as to the revealing of the mystery. What is time? How far does time reach? Where is the origin of time? How does it get its start? When will it end? When will this happen? And we brought it out as concerning shadows as to its origin and proved it right on up to the point to them that are able to see. Now you can't receive anything except it be given you of God, because when good cometh, Lucifer will blind the eyes of understanding to them that are not the children that are to inhabit that other world with the spiritual body. He that is born of flesh is flesh, he that is born of spirit is spirit. Ye are not in this world, ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. Ye are not in the flesh. If you was in the flesh, you would be under the god of the flesh, and Satan would be your power of dominion, so far as constraint over you. See, and you are not, because he's chosen you out of the world, and he's hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or the bringing in of the great new world or the great millennium, which is nearby. Because the vision I had where I had a hold of Satan, I've told you a lot of times, I wouldn't let him go. He grew so fierce because he could not get loose from me. And I got him. I got him by the knowledge of God and the word of God. I've got him. I've searched him out. I've found him out. I know all about him. I know who he is. I know what he's doing. I know his functioning. I know his going in and his coming out. And I got him. And he can't get loose. In the vision, he couldn't get loose of the mind of Christ. I latched in on it, and he couldn't get loose. And in that I'm bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of Christ Jesus, I've got him. And he can't get loose. And in the vision, he raised up, as I said, stretched out over the world, became so large he covered the earth and spun like a propeller on a plane until he turned into a blaze of fire and the heavens began to melt down with fire and brimstone. And I said, it's the end of the world. And then that's when these other things happen. And like I said, this ramble, the rambles that came up before me just the other day, Brother Richard the Jew, run into these. Something's happening. God is just saying little things, is giving us little keys. The Jews coming in, these kind of things. Bodily redemption. When Mr. Reagan went to Russia, I told you it was the rending of the veil as to Calvary, as to a natural here in the end time, as to the Iron Curtain, which is a reference to death. In that the Russians had one time been allies of America, fought on the battlefield with us, pulled away and died out as to the body. As to a Calvary, reckon your bodies to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus, your spirit leaving the flesh, translated into another world, that ye are they that sit in heavenly places to rejoice, ye that are in heaven. All right, so Mr. Reagan went over there into Russia. And it happened like we said. All of a sudden, the last report is that 20,000 tourists rushed into Russia to the extent that they don't even have a place for you to stay. See, the bonds of death are broken. I spoke of Mr. Reagan, his life. I spoke of his office, his administration, the Carter administration, and what it had to do with as to the catching up of the man-child among the stars. I brought it out in detail, showing what he had to do with as the symbol of the man-child. Somebody would say, that can't be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul said, Sarah, New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Let's give the Lord a hand. He that can see into the spiritual world knows very well that the things that I'm saying are exactly the truth. So I said all that to say this. We're coming right down near the end. This envelopment as to the sun, this magnetic field, this covering as to a symbol of the Shekinah glory of God, in that the Bible said that God is a consuming fire. He's the great light. No man can approach unto it. No man has ever seen God at any time. I know they got a little Trinitarian theory where they've got God and they see Him, and they've got the Holy Ghost and they see Him, and they've got Jesus and they see Him. There is no such thing as that except a display of ignorance. Let's give God another one. It's because they are ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorance means that they went to the wrong school, or when they got their diplomacy, they got it from a fraud, a thing that's a fraud. Ever learning, never knowing the truth. So then, we see that there is one image of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is but one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament it said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And the Bible said concerning this Lord, He made in Himself twain. In Himself twain, both Lord and Christ. And the veil that was rent in Calvary was rent in twain, which means the separation of the Lord and of the Christ. And had He not made in Himself twain, and had He not rent the veil in twain, as Brother Taylor sings the song, He has rent the veil in two, then there would be no separation of the Lord and the Christ. And that means there would be no deadness of your body as unto sin, they that are Christians. You would be very much alive in the eyes of God in your natural eras of life, and would go to hell, and there'd be no way for you to escape it. But the rending of the veil buried your body. For He that knew no sin was made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That is, He made an image of sin. Paul said what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh at Calvary for them that believe on Him. So, had He not rent the veil in two and took the body that was delivered for your sins or your offenses, had He not taken that body, folded it up, and laid it away, in that it fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and as Daniel said, the Messiah came to make an end of sin or the law of sin and death, God saying to you and I that's on this side of Calvary as today, that he that is born of God cannot sin. For the seed of God, even the life of Christ, remains within you. And He is your hope of the glory that was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration, the mount where we've stood before in Israel. Moses and Elijah appearing in glory. He is the hope of you entering into His glory. And this glory given to you through the kingdom of God from on the inside is released to you through revelation as a transformation of mind as from glory to glory. Mind, God's mind over matter, having created all matter, controlling all matter by faith, not scientist puny theory of human mind over matter, because they know nothing about nothing. They're running as one that beateth the air, though they do have a mind over matter to the extent that God allows them as the little children sitting down playing with their little blocks and putting them together. But anyway, as to the mind of God that's so high than the heavens is above the earth, no one can obtain unto it. It has to be revealed unto you by revelation. God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelation unto babes such as would learn. And He said to you and I that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation, that we might have our eyes enlightened, that is the eyes of understanding, to be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. And I just wish we had hours to minister on that. But anyway, we're just going to try to close you in a few minutes. I just want to say these few things. So we can see if the veil had not been rent in twain as to his body going down into the grave to make an end of sin, and that he knew that no sin was made sin, then our spirit, or we say his spirit, the Christ, had the Christ, his spirit, his angel, had it not been separated from the tabernacle as to his bodily image made in the image of mankind as to the sin, had that angelic being Christ not been separated to go on into the heavens, then we would be in our sins today and be eternally doomed and damned. But in that the veil was rent, that he made in himself twain, both righteous and sin, he folded up sin, he laid it away, and he separated from that body the angelic righteousness which is of God. And that's what he did to you. He separated your spirit by Calvary from your body. He sealed your body with the Spirit of God, saying, "Grieve not the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption," or that means the redeeming of your body, the restoring of all things. Don't grieve the Spirit, for you are sealed with it, and Satan cannot get past it like a woman would seal preserves. Sealed with it, the work is done as of Calvary. You're made righteousness by my works, not of anything you've done. Now I've sealed your spirit with this great seal of approval. And no man can break that seal, because you find in Revelation that when time came to break those seven seals as to the sealing of the book, no one could break them but God. You're sealed unto that day. And of course the breaking of those seals had to do with redemption, which would take hours and hours to talk about. So then we see this sealed as to an interperson, Christ Jesus, the hope of the glory world. I say this again so that you can catalog these things in your mind. Why is he the hope of glory? Because the Bible said, and the promise to Abraham was not as unto seeds of many, going back to New Jerusalem and Old Jerusalem, as to the bond child of the world and the free child of the mind of Christ, as to mind over matter, whether the bond child is to the beggarly elements of the world or the mind of Christ that's over all. For it is said, and he shall rule over thee. So, Jacob getting the birthright, back to this. Though Esau was made great, made a prince in the earth, so was Ishmael, made a great ruler. But that didn't have anything to do with the heavenly potentiality of God, because it looked like Jacob had lost and had the hard way to go. And even in his old age, it was then that he began to come into his power as to riches and wealth to enjoy them. But see, God was showing a spiritual thing as to the birthright. So then we've got the birthright. The firstborn, which is the natural people of this world, they're supposed to have the birthright, and they do have the birthright. To the natural things, they're the presidents, they're the teachers, they're the money powers, they're the authorities, they're the men of scientific ability, they're the ones that's praised, they're the ones that's honored, they're the ones that gets the medals and all of the refineries of life. They're the dignitaries, they're the celebrities. But see, our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, If my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. So our warfare, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, and yet it's mighty, as through faith, wrestling against principalities and powers and these things and rulers of darkness in high places. When you say rulers of darkness, you're speaking of intellectual ability as to scientific definition, education of the tree of knowledge. We're wrestling against them, and our power is great to the casting down of imagination. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, every thought. See, we're doing it. We're conquering it. We're bringing it down, like holding on to Satan. I held on to him till the world burned to ashes, and then he was gone. God destroyed him. The Bible said, "I've destroyed him that hath power over death." I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Speaking of Calvary, recorded in Revelation 10, as to the war in heaven and the thunders, I saw Lucifer cast out, he said. He saw him cast out when his natural or physical body, as to the world of chemistry, when that physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it was rejected of God and God turned His wrath on that body and God frowned on that body of sin and that body cried out, my God, what have I done that You would leave me? Or why hast Thou forsaken me? That was me that He forsook. That was you that He forsook. See, so that He would not have to forsake us physically, He forsook the own body of God that He made for sin. That Son, He gave His only begotten Son. He forsook Him. He gave Him up as a human sacrifice. Put Him on Calvary. And Satan was trapped. That's what's happening today. I'm reaping the benefits of it. That's why he can't get loose from it. I'm reaping the benefits of raised again for justification, whereas Jesus reaped the benefits of delivered for the offenses. So I'm alive today as righteousness and all power, while He beyond Calvary is dead as the Lord Jesus because of sin. But Jesus so wisely hemmed Satan up. He hemmed him up, and through the love of God, He overpowered Satan. And Satan looked and said, this just man, I find no wrong in him. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me. Every jot and tittle was taken care of. And leading Satan into that, pulling Judas right into the middle of the apostolic way of life, revealing the love of God, giving this mercy that is so unimaginable. And then at the end of it, turning to Satan, which was in the body of Judas, and said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out into the dark as he gave him a sup. But he was trapped. He now knew the right way, and it was required of him. And in that he knew the right way, he had learned it through a human being as to mercy. And here it was, as Jesus gave mercy to the devils to go into the hogs or the swines when he cast them out of Legion. Here he had trapped Satan and he locked in on Satan just like I've done now. This is the reaping of the benefit. And he pulled him down into the chambers of the fire and into the judgment of God. He smote the image, and even though it was not made manifest as to him being bound into the lake of fire until the end of the age, in that the rest of the members of the beast, that is the one in whom Satan lived when he deceived Eve, the rest of the members of this world, through the computerized system of the number 666 or the social security number, as I said years ago, it's come to pass so far, pulling the rest of the members into the educational system of scientists, falsely so called, and the love or the gullible desire of this world. He'll pull all the members in, for the Bible said, in all of the world, Germany, America, Japan, all wandered after the beast. I know this don't sound right to you, but the beast is the human body. The beast doesn't have us because our beastly part was crucified by Calvary, accepted through faith in the Word of God, buried in a watery grave in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is no more. God will never see me, never again, as a beast, nor you. But he sees beyond the valley of the shadows as to Thessalonians change, and he sees you as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So he sees you with a new body. The old body delivered for offenses as the rending of the veil, the new body raised for justification as that image in which we'll appear, for when he appears we know that we should be like him. We're already the sons of God. As to our inner angelic being separated from the body by the rent veil, the body's gone, all sin is gone, because Paul speaks of corruptible flesh. So we cannot wonder after the beast. For he that is born of the beast is beast. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of water is water. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. The last man Adam, a quickening spirit. The first man Adam, a living soul. We pass from the stages of the living soul when we were born again. We died out by the body of Jesus. We are raised again as to a justification before God. The nothing to never be laid to our charge, being the elect of God. Therefore, we're the judges of all things, and that the saints shall judge the world. And now we've come up in the eyes of God. We are spiritual, angelic beings in heaven, having left the body, for Christ has chosen us out of the flesh, and the flesh is buried in the watery grave. So then ye are in heaven as angels. The Bible said in heaven ye are equal to the angels and cannot die because angels cannot die. You have to destroy angels. Even fallen angels will have to be destroyed. And we cannot die. We have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. For death is the separation of the angel from the Spirit of God to be put into a lake of fire. It is referred to as the second death, but it is the death. The only reason that God allows the other to be called death as to being put in a casket and being put in the grave, the only reason he lets that be called death because one instance is for all to the wicked. As they die in the physical, they go right on into hell. See, the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment of the flame. And someone would say, well, that's a parable. I know the Bible said, without a parable, spake he not unto the people. What's that got to do with it? A parable. When Paul said, Sarah is heavenly Jerusalem, that's parabolic. Anybody's got enough understanding knows that. That don't change the fact that she was heavenly Jerusalem. Someone would say, well, how can that be? Because the Bible speaks of John in the Revelation seeing heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for the husband. There is she to faithful Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. The Bible said, if you do well without any amazement. And in this, we are the lively stones. Whereas he said, and I'll remember you as a man remembers his son when I come to make up my jewels. So she was one of the jewels of the wall. He saw her. He penetrated with those penetrating eyes, and he saw that Hagar was not at all those jewels. All right, let's get on a little further and close. I am going to try to close. Just hold on for a few more minutes. So then what are we doing? We're looking beyond the veil. You know the little Superman thing where all of a sudden he was no more the newsman of the old intellectual way of life as to the serpent side. But he'd leave that and he'd get into a Superman place where he belonged to the celestial. Then his eyes were x-ray as to penetrating, you know, like discernment. You take sons of God, somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't go comparing little old feeble people to this fable of this great mighty Superman. You know what? Superman would do good to come into the place to be one of our little children. Let's give God a hand. God only allowed that. Somebody says, my God, Brother Pike. Did you know that we are gods? It doesn't say anything about Superman being a god, even in his comic strips, does it? The Lord let all these little silly things come to program the mind to keep them in the right direction. Somebody says, well, that wouldn't affect anybody. Well, scientists have proved that Jack and the Beanstalk, that from this little writing, murderers have come. So I just use that as a simple little reference. Sometimes we use like Cinderella, and sometimes we use Snow White as it was the great singer, Pat Boone. Got a hold of one of our tapes. Was it on Little Glass Slipper, Cinderella? And said he never knew there's so much gospel in a fable. But anyway, we'll just go on from there to say this. See, with all of his super ability as a comic, he makes no comparison as to you and I. Did you notice that in that little comic strip, I've had reference to it, that down among mankind, he's a great super figure. But they went on to explain that when he went back to Krypton, or that is, he got back to Krypton, that is the place of his nativity, when he got back, the little comic strip said he was just like all the rest. A whole bunch of them was the same way. All of them were Superman. You understand what I'm saying? Devils come among you because they are super. They work miracles when there's no miracle to it at all. It's just a lie and vanity. Because only God has the power to work a true miracle. But because you're in one dimension, they're in another dimension, and you are so limited as to your ability, and they are so great to their ability, while they just do all kinds of things with the natural and it just looks supernatural to you when there's nothing supernatural about it as to the real mind of man. In this, We see that we are gods. The Bible said ye are gods. It didn't say you're going to become gods. Or maybe someday you might be a god. Or if you hold on, you're going to make it in. If you don't sin. In the first place, we can't sin. That's over and gone. He that is born of God cannot sin. Somebody would say, well, I think he can if he holds on. It don't say nothing about holding on whatsoever. Daniel said the Messiah will come and make an end of sin when he came to Calvary. And the body of Jesus was done away with that made an end of sin. And you are born of God and you can't be unborn. No more than you and I can be unborn in this world in that we've been born into the image of Adam. No more can we be unborn in that we have been born into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are without sin. Jesus said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. They all got up and left. Why was that? They couldn't cast the stone. All of them were sinful. Then someone, I've said this, Jesus was the only one that could have casted a stone. Because he was definitely without sin. But inasmuch as he loved her, he didn't want to do that. He came to save her. Not to condone her wrong, but to bring her to the knowledge of right in that she was on the other side of Calvary. But on the other hand, we could say, why did he not cast a stone? Though he was without sin, yet the Bible said he was made sin. Our sin. God was going to reject even him so that the law, all of it would be gone. Every bit of it, including Jesus. For the Bible said, we have known Christ Jesus after the flesh. But from henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. For in the mystery of godliness, God was justified in the Spirit. Jesus, to be our example, was justified in the Spirit. Even he couldn't be justified in the flesh. So to show that there was no justification, there was no one that condemned the woman. No one that could cast a stone at the woman. And so then it wasn't until the other side of Calvary that this thing was brought to light. For this was given us in the foreknowledge of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge. Given to us in the foreknowledge of God as elect of God before the world ever was. And brought to light at Calvary in that the veil was rent. The curtains were pulled back. And the light of the church age messengers and the teachings of the glory of the church was revealed. Paul said the manifold wisdom of God from the third heaven where he went as the overseer, as the capstone of the city, the revelation to look down through the church ages, to guide it, to oversee it, to bring every stone to its fit place. As Moses did the Old Testament, so was Paul Christ to the New Testament. Moses was God as to the Lord of the Old Testament. Said Moses, I made you God unto the people. So then, ye are gods. Ye cannot die. You cannot sin. You're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, not by your works of righteousness, but by his works of righteousness. And your inner man is sealed forever that Satan cannot deceive him nor touch him. The body is dead because of sin and won't come forth until the change. Until we with the redemption of the body, the resurrection of the dead. Mr. Reagan going into Russia has to do with it. Our trip around the world. This is the end of the world. There's many multiplied things that's happening. It's got to do with a great move over in Africa. As to them that in darkness, the black man of America shows the dead. The white man shows the living. Whereas in years gone by, it was so to the extent that the black man hardly had any rights of anything. And the white man enslaved him. Whereas I know, as I've said so often, the black men in the world out there that don't understand, they get all upset and say, yep, that's what he done to me. Bless God, someday we'll get to be president, we'll get to be king, and we'll just ease the sword under his fifth rib. But that isn't the way it is. If you'll go back, the black man made slaves out of the white man first. Check it. History definitely shows it. They only reap what they sowed, if you're going to look at it. On the natural. That wasn't too funny, was it? We didn't get much hand out of it. But we're clapping for the word of God. The truth. Don't you want to know the truth? So then nobody's got any feeling, or should have any feeling, with their foolishness of going around with prejudice. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. He does what he wants to when he gets ready with the white, with the black, with the yellow, with the red, and whatever. See, just like the white man coming over here taking the Indians' country. took the Indians' country. I'm just dropping in a few thoughts on the way to show you how we get mixed up and get into a wilderness, thinking we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know. So then the red man, he's over here. The white man, he comes and takes his country away from him. So it's horrible. Here we are over here. You're talking about that old dirty black man, that old dirty white man. What about that old dirty you that took the home of the Indians? Let's give him God a hand. Okay? That old mean you that took it away. Sounds like that you're going to be reaping some things from the Indian. Like not too long ago, one of the chiefs over in Canada, he got upset and told Canada, said, "We'll declare war on you. Just a little tribe." But said, "We'll declare war on you. You know, he used to burn the house down to the white man. He'd done a lot of reaping. He took the country, but he'd done a lot of reaping. He lost his children. He lost a lot of things that was dear to him, including his wife and his own life, down through the past. And not only that, but the Indians have done a lot of reaping. Today, they don't have to pay any taxes, and you do. Let's give the Lord another hand. My, what the wonderful truth of God holds. So then we see, as it was, Don Porter came down from Canada a few days ago and showed me his little number over here. They didn't have to pay taxes, so they're getting a lot of benefits. All right, so then what are we saying? All coming back around in a cycle. You're gods. You shall die like men or taste death as Jesus did, though he was God. As a man, from the lack of knowledge, he did it for your sake. We did it because we haven't applied ourselves to wit the redemption of the body, though the body's already been redeemed, just like the spirit. See, and what does this mean? It means that you and I will not wander after the beast, nor the intellectual reason. But every person that is not born again, it doesn't matter if they're a church member, it doesn't matter what organization they belong to, if their eyes aren't open, and it's not open unless they've been born again, because it's a still birth, though they might have come into this world. In that the Bible said you are partakers of the blessings of God to the extent that the rain is on the just and the unjust. And it says that ye have tasted of the power of God, of the heavenly gift, of the blessings of the Holy Ghost as far as the rain being poured out, maybe jumping, shouting, speaking in tongues, or going to church for X amount of years, or giving in the offering. See, but you're still a still birth. The child was born dead to this extent. You never did get your eyes open to the things of God. And Satan has blinded the eyes of your understanding that you cannot see when good comes. Having come to the knowledge of the truth as to the mercies of God, you are now accountable, and the soul will die because you cannot perform it, in that you don't have the life of Christ to perform it, and you're in the same conditions that the Philistines were in when they took the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of Israel. They didn't know how to worship it, and that's why your hospitals are filling up and your insane asylums are filling up, and that's why the elements are getting all out of sorts, and that's why the devastating blows of judgment of every kind is upon you. The wrath of God is upon you, because the law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached. And men have come in with their educational system and taken the Ark of the Covenant or the religious stride of life that belongs to the Christians, put it in a college and made it something of their own, and they don't know how to worship it, because God is the Spirit of holiness and you have to worship Him in holiness and truth. And not having the Spirit of holiness, they are a ritualistic formality of religion and bringing the wrath of God upon them. And God has allowed all of these ministries that we spoke of, many as our brother Thomas said, are falling right now. We predicted would fall, these lights going out, because they are reflectors, they're not true stars. Religious reflectors. As they will fall from that heaven above you, as to those natural rock, whatever, so are they falling physically out of the realms of religious stride. These are reflectors. God has allowed them to be religious. God has allowed them to go to college. God has given them a ministry as Judas among the people, among the truth, so that the people of this world that won't follow holiness as to the elect will still come to their assemblies, their gatherings, and hear the word of God. Paul said, whether they preach the word for contention or otherwise, herein I rejoice, because the word of God is taught. And the Bible said there are ministers of the devil, transforming themselves by the renewing of their mind, Paul said, into ministers of light, transforming their minds by reading this word and meditating on it and thinking of it, till they get an intellectual imprint of it so strong, as it was with a man that come here, an ex-boxer, he can quote the Bible until it's unreal. See, so that they can do as Satan did to Jesus when through that ministry he tried to deceive Jesus and said, it is written, cast yourself down. And he quoted the scripture, for it is written, cast thyself down from thence. And he said, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone. That is from the pinnacle. Jesus didn't believe in his doctrine. It was a doctrine of the devil, and he had changed the word of God into a lie, as the Bible said. So Jesus said, it is also written as the ministry of truth, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So then I said all of that to say this, they've got a ministry, but it's just about Judas time as to the revealing. We preached that to you in the past, the last few months. The Judases are being revealed, even all around, in the church, on the campground, out yonder, on the jobs, wherever, just watch. Women that have been religious, they're becoming harlots. Men becoming whoremongers. I've said this, and I say it very reverently, not discrediting or not degrading. I do not believe that these men that are doing these hideous things should go back in the ministry. God took them out by revealing this and letting the world catch up with them, because the Judas time of exposure is here. God took them out. They're going back in, but God did not put them back in. I say this, that if a harlot is over here, and the Bible refers to the flesh as the great whore or the harlot, I say, whereas the Bible said the whore or the harlot is without the gate and shall not enter in to the city, that is, they shall not get in to intermingle with these lively stones of that wall of the great priesthood in New Jerusalem, the city, they can't get in. We're baptized into the members of this body or the stones of this building as one spirit, baptized by his spirit, taking our spirit into his angelic spirit. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body through the foreknowledge of God, seeing us in the chains, the Thessalonian chains, we're now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The old man gone, the identity gone, and the new man here. So I said that to say this, that if that is a whore, then the man that went down there was a whoremonger. Figure it any way you want to. He was a whoremonger, or he wouldn't have been with whores. And the Bible said the whoremonger shall not enter into the city. All right, so here we are. We're dead to sin, cannot sin. Born of God, clean and holy, another people for another world. And now the old world is passing away. And the sun is becoming sevenfold. The light of the church ages is coming. So the sun will get hotter and hotter. And then all of a sudden, when it gets so exceedingly bright, the brightness will go out, which means the rapture of the church. And over goes back to the word bride. Away it will go like that. Into the far distance, that will be the end of it. That will be the end of the world. Because that sun, which is a type of God, will be seen no more. No more. No more. No more. And time shall be no more. The sun that makes the shadows will end time as it goes away. When it goes away, there will be a new world coming. But the new world will be the day star himself, Christ, the great light, in its sevenfold manner, as the furnace seven times hotter when the children came. And so then with this, the Bible said, and that city hath no need for the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And that light is this understanding, the understanding being enlightened. It isn't this little old puny light of electrical currents as to vibrations that creates life as to friction in the human body through the atomic particles as to mind of a matter. That's not what it is. God set that mind of a matter when they fell from the Shekinah illumination. The Shekinah illumination will come back. And all of this is but vanity and vexation of the Spirit, and all will pass away. Vanity of vanities, the preacher said. So, in saying that, trying to close here, I am saying that there are people that are not in the flesh, that's not of the flesh. They're heavenly beings. They can stand these pressures to go into these great dimensional heights and these great dimensional depths. And they are people who are angelic, and they are equal to the angels because they are angels. As it was said of Jesus, it's his angel. We are really angelic beings that are manifested in human bodies. Now the Heavenly Father, having put us through college and school, is about to take us out of this little old building. We spoke of it as the Old Testament of checking the plagues in the little building. And whether or not it will be inhabited again, it's the resurrection. The priest had to go in and cure the disease. If it couldn't be cured, you couldn't use it no more. So then, we are heavenly beings. The others are beasts. Beast. They come from the tree of knowledge through the weakness of Eve as to the beast, and the master Satan took them through the beast. They are today beast. Scientists are trying to prove that they came from tadpoles, as we said. They are beast. They are beast. And all of the world as to the beastly members wondered after the beast. Isn't that right? The headship is coming as to the church, and the headship is coming as to Satan and his members as the beast. And two worlds will collide. And there will be a battle. There will be a great heavenly battle. We say the battles in the heavenlies, as somebody came not too long ago, and they saw me over here on one mountain and Satan on another mountain. The Tommy Cartridge, I believe. And we had this battle. We came together in great, fierce battle. Battle royal. And he said, Brother Pike, in the end, you won out and Satan lost. He said it was on these two great mountains. So what it is, it's not Brother Pike. It is the mind of God being made manifest in his fullness coming now. And the mind of Satan with its compound meanings from Einstein on down coming now. And they're coming together. And this mind of God is so superior that it's making those people look like little juniors. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I've talked to professors and different ones. And I had a professor to say to me, active in college, he said, man, this must come from God. I ain't never heard nothing like this in all of my life. And him a professor. And so it was when the great learned priest come here, having studied in Italy, and having studied in New York, and been in the Catholic studies, and tutoring for many years, said, Brother Pike, I know but what you said. The entire Catholic Church is wrong, said it's made a mistake. And he went out and began to confront them, and still is confronting them. And one of his best friends, the article was, I say best friend, I understand it's one of his special friends, has just recently rose up as an archbishop against the Pope of Rome, and that we said the crown had shifted, it was with them no more, they'd have no power in the earth, the days of the chemistry world was over as to the physical or second dimension, as to the second heaven of the book of Revelation, the war in heaven, as the Satan cast out when Michael and his angels fought, then the child being caught up to the third heaven, and the woman fleeing into the wilderness as into a place prepared as to the first heaven, going back to Canaan on this earth. Here the archbishop says, we don't have any more confidence in Rome. He's 82 years old. He said he's going to ordain who he wants to ordain, pope or no pope, and he's doing it. And they say, and for the first time in 18 or 82 years? I don't know. I can't remember exactly. But in well over 100 years, this is the first time they've ever had anything like that to happen, to bring a split in the Roman Catholic Church. It means the rent veil, the expose of the mind of Christ, and my, what we could say about the souls under the altar. crying how long. But anyway, I just said that to try to express to you that, and I'm going to close with these statements right here. That's why you wear your lipstick. And this ain't going to sit right. They call this old time holiness. The preacher said, holiness or hell. Them people don't know how to serve God with their split skirts, their open bosom, plucked out, form-fitting, corrupted way of ball games and television stars and Elvis Presleys and beatniks and dignitaries. And I'm not speaking of true celebrities and true dignitaries that's ordained of God, because there are, the Bible speaks of them. But with all of this filth, all of this infiltration, all of this rot, whereas the Bible said be holy in body and spirit, they just feel like you just have to believe that God's yours and you're all right. But he said, be holy in your spirit by being filled with the Spirit. If you have not my spirit, you are not holy in spirit, you're none of mine. And he is your hope of glory. The promise, not as to many, but as to one, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is to say, through Jesus, the one being heir to the glory of God. And if you don't have him, you don't have no hope of that glory. So then, following after your shorts and your joggins, your bathing suits and your frolics on the beach, and your nightclubs and your drinking and your dancing, your cursing, your gossiping, your backbiting, your bitterness, your ugliness, your painted faces and all of your worldly attire, as to your monetary values, as to love of the world. And the Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of heavenly things of the Father is not there. You've got the mind of the devil. You're his image. Jesus said, Peter. He said, Satan. You're one and the same. So we say, Jesus, Christ, God. Brethren, sisters, Christ in you, one. Yeah, God, one and the same. So then, that means that all of the world, all of humanity, wandered after the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the beast, of the flesh. They're wandering after the beast. They've got to get through to even the women, to the hair cutting, to bob it up, to get it up to where it doesn't show the glory of God as to the government upon the shoulder. Bob it up, stick it up, twist it up, do it anyway. Satan will get you to do anything he can. Cut it off. Like I saw a woman, I told her the glory of God had departed from her and she had a fit. Wasn't so with her, but I went into a vision. I looked in a vision, and she's standing by a big open fire. And the Bible speaks of the woman's hair being her glory. And I saw a witch, and the witch come up and took scissors and cut her hair off and left her bobbed and throwed it into the fire. And away went the vision. So, a woman being a type of the church, she should have power on her head because of the angels. Represent power, that is, to the government or the strength. That is the power of God. The Spirit represents the glory, which is the Spirit. Now, that means the world is wandering after the beast. Right now, the church world, it's volleyball, it's ball game. They have instigated, putting it in the church, substituted, subsidized, until the church is a mess. It is a mire for dogs and hogs, the preacher being the same. And the Bible said a cage of every unclean spirit or unclean bird or every devil. It is a cage. It's not a church. It's a cage for devils. And that's why the Bible said Babylon is fallen. It's confusing. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they've been. They're just a charismatic group. We spoke of it coming. And I know the word charisma goes one way to Christ. It goes one way to the pagan gods. I've searched it out. And it is a charisma that goes to the pagan gods of professing something and not having it, of shouting and hollering like the old time Pentecostals did when some of them didn't have nothing, but some of them did in that they were little children. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. And as I say, coming over the Red Sea and the shouting and the dancing went away with the biting of the serpent. And they begin to get in a tutoring and a learning to transformate, to learn, to understand, to go into that other world as to the scientific side is shown by types. See, so That means that they've got this charismatic thing relating back to that as to praising and hollering and dancing and shouting and all these things, knowing nothing. Still, even some of them that might be godly caught in with them, little children, being misled. Like the abduction of today, never been a day where men are ravishing little ones 3 and 4 years old. Taking, like the girl, and cutting her arms off after molesting her. Doing the filthy things, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, and intermingling an inset in the home. So, they're wandering after the beast, thinking to know something, not knowing something they ought to know. The Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and like the king of Babylon, walking around, looking at the great kingdom that God had established for his purpose, saying, look what I've done. And about that time, the handwriting on the wall, as we say, and then the fulfillment of the words of the man of God, and all of the wise men not being able to explain it, and out the great king went with the beast, and his fingers grew out like claws, and his hair like feathers. That's today. Look at your new generation. Hair growing out like feathers. Look at your women. I went to a place over in Louisiana, and the woman had fingernails. You see what I'm doing here? I believe, to the best of my ability, that if that is an exaggeration, it wouldn't be very much, if any at all. Her fingernails were that long. I've seen fingernails that might have been a half an inch or something, but hers was way out, longer than any claws that I have ever seen on fowls, even big birds. So they're growing out. Why? They've lost their mind. They've been put out with the beast. And the Bible said 7 times had to pass over them, as to the Jews are going through that in the restoration, as to the kingdom, to make them the head of the nation, as it was in Babylon when Daniel was made the third ruler in the kingdom, and when the old king became the servant of God. That is to say, 7 times the tribulation period, cut down the tree, let 7 times pass over. John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree, it's been cut down, the church ages is passing over it, and to show it is through the tribulation, 7 times will pass over it, and then the tree will come back, but this time not as a tree of knowledge, but a tree of life. That is to rend the veil and to do away with the image part of sin and to bring forth the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Cutting it down all the way from Calvary. Cursed is he that hang upon a tree. Cutting it down back to the garden. That generation under the law of sin and death. And the new generation of life as to Christ delivered for offenses. So then this tree of life that's growing more and more as to my words of spirit and my words of life and not death as it was to the beast to eat. So then we see how wonderful it is. I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. As to the word abundant, and he said, I'm the Prince of Life. And now he's moving the thief that robs and steals and kills. But them that are under the law, they're falling from grace. And them that follows the beast, that is the flesh and the don't have self-denial and don't mortify the deeds of the body. Don't swear to their own hurt, but don't follow him through the garden. They're wandering more and more after the beast and being turned over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. He said, because you had not a love for the truth, that is when the preacher tells you, the Spirit tells you, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I will send you strong delusions. I will cause you to believe a lie and be damned. That is, I'll send you a new interpretation of the Bible. I'll take it away from the real thing. I'll bring you the new translation. I'll give you the amplified version. I'll give you the hippie version of it. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Even the Gideons have changed to it. Why is God doing that? Because he's withdrawing from you. He's taking the truth from you. You didn't want it. You wanted something that would fit your ball games. Now you got your new version. Read it. It'll fix you up. All you got to do is go right on with the devil, and after a while you'll know the depths of Lucifer. And you'll know the sting of the adder, the kill of the fly once he's entangled with the web. All right, so the dewdrops of the mornings, we say, looks good on the web, but when the fly gets stuck, he soon finds out that he's not having a good time at Six Flags and whatever as it is with the people. You know, flapping his wings and bouncing around, after a while he gets slower and slower. And if old age don't get you to do that to kill you, then you can be sure that Satan will bind you with your financial obligations, with insanity, oppression, demons, whatever, until you're bound hand and feet because you come into this supper. You've got a knowledge of righteousness and you come out without, come in without the wedding garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. To put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, to make no provisions for the flesh, to come into this supper as to the end time, to know this message, to know this way of life, is to cause yourself to be bound and cast into the outer darkness of the intellectual reasoning of human ignorance, as to being turned over to reprobate mind, to believe a lie, to wander after the beast, and to be damned. That's why the Bible says to pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. That is the awful, hideous things when there'll be no healing medicine and you'll pray for death to get out of the misery coming on the people. Let's stand together. Now, if you thought I preached a long time, think about Paul and you'll realize how short-winded I am. It's like some woman said something the other day about ministering a little long. You're talking about a Jezebel that's after the world. And God spoke of feeding her to the dogs. The dogs would eat her. You're talking about the dogs eating her. The Bible speaks of, who is this that eat my people? The dogs are eating her like a piece of meat. I mean, the world has swallowed her up. And you speak about becoming dung on the face of the earth. She's passing right on through them. As to the speaking of the release and the anise, she's going right on through, and Paul counted all of his learning as dung. She is so wrapped up in dung as to her intellectual definition of religion, as to where she's going and what she's doing, until it's almost a spectacular thing to talk with her. Her ignorance is so great, though her riches are so great. She's got everything she wants for riches, but her ignorance is so great that I don't see how a person can make conversation with her that had good understanding. Always reminded of a little thing that we've said to you many times, when the man sat on the stool at the bar talking to a man about God and trying to tell him how that he was a son of God, and how that the man took the scientific side and said it's not so. He said he was a monkey, could prove that they come from monkeys. And as it was said, the man continued till he got disgusted and he got up and left, and he said, well, if that's the way you feel, I don't see no reason for a son of God to reason with a son of a monkey, and he left. And that's the way I feel. Those people that take a little too long for the preaching, they are sons of the beast. They are daughters of the beast. Paul said some of them are brood beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. That in the foreknowledge of God, God saw them in their brutality. When he created them in the foreknowledge, from that time, as Judas, they were a devil made to be taken and destroyed from the act of creation through his foreknowledge as to existence. So then, I don't see any reason why I, as a son of God, should sit down with the children of a beast and try to convince them that their heavenly Father is the same, that they have a heavenly Father that is the same as mine. Because when Jesus had that dispute, they said, we're the children of Abraham. And he said, if you'd have been the children of Abraham, you'd have done the works of Abraham. He spoke of his heavenly Father. And he said, as to your father, said, your father is the devil. You are children of the devil, Jesus said. He didn't cut no corners about it. He didn't preach no smooth sermons. He said, your father is the devil. He said, my father is God. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. He said, but your father is the devil. And he said, and his deeds you will do. The things of the world and the love of the world, you'll do it. And that old bonds child mind of yours that draws you out into the religious stride of life and having at the same time the love of the world, that old bonds child mind of yours will always mock a child of God and mock the free child, as Ishmael did Isaac. And as Sarah said, as to New Jerusalem, saying, and it shall not be heir with my child. Say, well, it was the child of Abraham. I know they're all children of God to the extent that God created them all. But they're not children of God in the sense that not all that come out of Egypt were saved. Not all. Some turned back into Egypt in their heart. But he said not all. It's in Isaac as to children of faith, as to the child of promise. This is the children of the next world. So they're not all children of God as to having a heavenly father. Only in Isaac. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Sometimes we take a little long as to talking these things, not because we don't know that some of you are restless, not because we're ignorant, in the sense that I know that intellectual preachers have a little powwow with their people, get what they can of the tithes and offerings and try not to cause them to stay too long so that they'll think more of them and come back regularly to give more money. We're not ignorant, but we do it because these go on tape or film or wherever. And people across the nation and across the world hear these things, and some of them have more time to sit down in the comforts of their living room or in the privacy of their bedroom, and they're willing to listen for hours. I've had men that have listened all night long. The truth, this is the truth. And the truth is that when morning comes, they said, please don't stop, Brother Pike. I'd say, but we've been here all night. The dawn is breaking. They said, please don't stop. See, when God is speaking as to Moses, 80 days on the mountain, somebody would say, well, it's quite a long time. I talk to him all the time, day and night, all the time. Somebody said, well, that's for the preachers. The Bible said you are to bring every thought to the obedience of Jesus and meditate in his laws day and night, that you're not to have any time or anything else. If you do your work, you do your job, you do your business, keep your mind on Christ, and he'll take care of all that you have to do. So you can't do it. I've done it many times, hundreds of times. Black, white, red, yellow, German, Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, Cuban, you're my brother. Some people are not black nor white. They are an intercolor, as a mediocre of color. Some people are blue. You ever seen a blue man? I've seen people, there are certain people that are so black that when you get to them, they're blue. They give off a blue glow. All kind of people in the world. God made the rainbow. He made all kind of people. But you that are born again, your body, whether it's white, whether it's black, whether it's red, whether it's yellow, it was the bastard child body. And God buried it. So when you admire your face in the mirror, remember that. And you are now bone of his bone as to what God sees you in the change as to Thessalonians. Your outer man, a person, doesn't live again in his sight until then. So subdue your body. Bring it unto holiness. And God will help you. The only true holiness is his righteousness. But your efforts makes you available, makes you to be able to receive this. So you're my brother. If you are born again, you are a God. You are beautiful. You are so beautiful. The Bible said that the preacher, that even the feet of the minister, how beautiful are the feet of the minister. He brings these glad tidings of great joy. Someone would say, what do you mean by that? I wish we had time to elaborate. But I'll just say this. Jesus' feet, it was like the brass, fine brass burned in the furnace, glowing. If you could see the minister's feet, just see his feet, not to say anything of his body, his feet, he'll outshine the noonday. He'll outshine the noonday. So bright, you couldn't look upon him. So just his feet. So you're gods. You're great. You're mighty. You're not men. You're not beasts. You're not to be classified with them. So don't get yourself mixed up and mingled with the dogs and pigs of this world. Stay away from them. Don't be mean. Just come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Don't be mean. Don't be cruel. They're just beasts. They're just animals. You feel sorry for them. You go on your way. You do what you got to do. When they come arguing with you, the old bonds child come arguing with you, and he fusses with you, feuds with you, and explodes and tries to explain his theory and his way of life to show you that you're wrong. Look at him with great compassion and think like a mother would have toward her little old bitty boy. And think in your heart, I've done this many times to great intelligence. I've looked at him with great compassion and I thought, you're so pitiful. I'd love to take my arms and put my arms around you and help you to be able to understand and help you to come out of that darkness and that denseness and to realize how childish that you are and how little that you are and that all of the things that you're saying is just a conglomeration of ignorance and misunderstanding because of your immaturity and lack of development. See, look at them like that. Don't be angry with them. Don't get upset with them. Just go on your way. Just go on your way. I want you to lift your hands up. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, you may. As we sing another chorus or two, I know some of you'd like to go, and if you do, if you like to go, that's perfectly all right. Don't feel bad if you left an hour ago when it felt bad at you. When you got to go, you got to go. When you got things to do, you got things to do. If your interest is in another field of activity and you feel that you can't be satisfied unless you're there, that's perfectly all right with me. The children of God are not just here for an hour. They're here for eternity anyway. They'll just go on and go on and go on. When they leave here, they'll hem me up or somebody up or go somewhere to talk about this again and to be with this again. They do it with a regularity. And they that are in the world, of the world, with the mind of the world, as a child, bondage to the beggarly elements, to eating and drinking, whereas the Bible said, let their table be made a snare to them. Those kind of things, they're going to do that. But if you have to go, if there's any reason, God reason, that you have to go, you feel at perfect liberty because Brother Pike doesn't feel bad at you at all. All right, let's sing this song. Right? At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sing it with me. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still at the cross for you. Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes, and let's sing this. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For
complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, speak over my soul. Are I vanquished my soul when God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. We need thee every hour. I need thee. I need precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes with me. While we're standing here, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you've been the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. Many departing from the faith that is from the word in the last days, being believers. But if you believe Satan, he believes. You do well. Even if you believe there's one God, he doesn't tremble. But will you know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Though the works be of him, though the merits be of him, though the faith of Jesus Christ that needs no works is justified, yet there is a works that we do, not as unto justification or salvation, but as to a daily sanctification, not unto sanctification, as of Christ, in that we're sanctified by the faith that's in him once and for all, but as a daily sanctification to keep our bodies under subjection, that we might submit it to our Savior. That's our proof of believing as to our way of truth. The child known by his doings as to righteousness, as to the tree bearing of its nature. And that makes us clean and holy, so we can be a better vessel, not be under condemnation, but have faith, doing the things, John said, that please him, giving us the confidence of faith that he heareth us, that we receive what we want of him, to do these things and be great and mighty in his kingdom for him. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you. It's good to see you here. It's good to see Gracie and the little lady that come in with her. We're glad to have you here. We're very grateful.
And while we're standing here, I'm going to ask Brother Atlee Beecher if Atlee will come down. Atlee's been a wonderful person to help us. Chief governor of our works at Little Bethlehem for many years. As you come in the gates, you'll notice the plaque that says to the Honorable Atlee Beecher and to his wife and his family, because of their efforts and their sacrifices in his early life here, his concern about the things of God then and even as of now, and our sister Beecher making clothes as it was with Dorcas so many times for my wife and others, fighting a battle of sickness and won out by faith in God. While he's praying, remember me, remember the trip. We've got one more service after today. Remember the trip. Remember the Lord. Lord bless you, Brother Atlee.